This episode of the Android Central Podcast is brought to you by ShopAndroid.com, your number one source for Android smartphone accessories. To save 10% on your entire order, enter code AC10 at checkout. Orders over $50 ship free, and international shipping is available. Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 192. For Thursday, July 3rd, 2014, we are a day early again. When was the last time we did Friday? It's been a little while. We are a day early. We're a week removed from Google I.O. We are one day before the 4th of July here in the States. I'm Phil Nickinson. I do this little thing. We got Jerry Hildenbrand in West Virginia.
Hey, everybody.
Alex Dobie in England.
Hey, everyone.
And Andrew Martinick in Seattle.
Hello.
It's good to see you guys. It's been a little while.
Well, you got to see Jerry in person last week.
I did. Man, I felt horrible, Jerry. I like kind of left you on the street there in San Francisco.
Hey, things happen. It's all right. You fixed it in the end. You just haven't seen the receipt yet.
All right, fair enough. I was like, Jerry, where are you? I'm going to go to the airport. And I hear from him like a mile after I get in the cab. it's too far to go back for him. Have fun. See you later.
Rush hour in downtown San Francisco and AT&T are not friendly.
True. Traffic wasn't that bad for me getting out. So, we're back. We're going to do this little thing. I mean, today will probably be pretty loose. We haven't had too much going on since last week, although we all have our, well, some of us have our proper Android Wear watches. So we can talk about those some more. Derry's got one. I've got one. It's pretty cool. So yes, we shall talk about that. What else? What else is going on? Anything like in the real world? We got a hurricane out there, so I'm kind of paying attention to that.
It's right off the coast of... Well, it will be.
It's a mean-looking sucker, too, for this early. July's still pretty early, especially for the East Coast. So if you're out there, if you're going through this, hang in there. I know what it's like. It sucks. No.
Alex and I don't know what hurricanes are.
No, you really don't.
Lost on this.
Not yet.
So, well, I mean, I guess we should start off with Android Wear, right? Since it's sort of out. Everybody at Google I.O. got one. We've got some...
Yeah, I think stock is starting to trickle out in other countries as well. The UK launches tomorrow. I think some retailers got it a little bit early. All the apps are out there. We've got all the Android Wear apps, the official Wear sort of pairing app is out as well. Big update to Google Play services to enable all that stuff.
Yeah, Nope, go ahead.
Real quick, if you were at Google I.O. and you're having issues updating anything or seeing any of these new apps, go into the settings and uninstall the Google Play services you're running and get the new one.
Well, you'll need to leave the beta one.
I didn't have to leave it, but it updated me to everything needed to be after I sucked out Google Play services and updated it manually.
Okay.
Other people, though, didn't have an issue. But I'm just saying, if you are having one, that's something to try.
Gotcha. So, Jerry's been using the Samsung Watch. I've been using the LG Watch. And give me, like, your little two-minute spiel, Jerry, on what you think. How's it working? Don't even get into the software yet. We'll talk about that in a minute. Let's talk hardware.
Great for, you know, a version 1 product that's really version 3 from Samsung. Let's be honest, on the hardware side, there's not a lot new here that Samsung hasn't been doing. Same nice brushed metal, I guess it's steel, brushed finish. You know, it's built really well. A little big. If you like watches, you may be used to big watches, but if not, don't be alarmed when this thing is bigger than you imagined it would be. The buckle, I don't have much issue with it, but a lot of people say it's very uncomfortable. It's easy enough to change, although it was made for a special strap, you know, a Samsung-only strap, but any strap of the right size will fit. A little difficult to see in the sun. It's not auto brightness. And my battery life is okay. Once I got in and turned off some of the notifications that I don't want, I stretched that out to about 2 days, which means Yes, but well, the first one I shut off, Phil, was I'm sorry, I don't want to name names, but Trello, because you know,
oh, sure, absolutely,
how many notifications we get, and each time you get one, it lights up the entire screen.
That's and that's why I did that post on how to blacklist apps,
right?
Because there's really just no reason to have everything come through, and they do need to update it to where you're not blacklisting one at a time. You need checkboxes, right, so you can, you know, do a whole bunch of ones. It's how Pebble Notifier works. There absolutely are, you know, apps that should not just be kicking over every notification. And it's really doing, I mean, there are a lot of similarities between Android Wear as far as notifications go and Pebble and how it did it.
Oh, yeah.
Anything yeah, that it's doing it the exact same way, actually.
Right. Right. My only real issue is we need a way to control. I don't want the entire screen to flash when I get a notification from you guys in Hangouts. I don't want this AMOLED screen, and it's done like you would imagine. So when the face goes dim, most of the screen is black, and you have a light version of your watch face running. So I would save even more battery if it didn't light, but you know, light back up the whole way whenever right, a notification came in. So that's my biggest issue with it. Other than that, I think I'm pretty impressed.
So you've been playing around with straps on Samsung, and here's the other thing about Samsung. I keep reminding Terry to yell about this, and that Samsung they actually make it easy for you to take the straps off. You can just use a fingernail, right? It's got these little, you know, they're spring-loaded, but they're made so you can just do it with your fingers. But to put on just about any other strap, you're going to need a tool. And it's like, well, right, but fine. It's just, they made it easy to take off, but not put another one on? Fine. I've put one on the LG G Watch, and I'd never used one of those tools before. Pebble does it differently with just screws, so that was, you know, different. But I was able to do this in about, you know, 10 minutes yesterday, and so I put links on it, and I like it a lot more. The face is still very generic, and, you know, it's like the black slab of smartwatches, but it looks so much better, I think. It feels better, and I'm definitely glad I did it. So I would, you know, if you're fine with a rubber strap, cool, but I want something that just looks a little nicer, so I'm absolutely glad that I spent, you know, $45 and got a new strap.
That offsets it so it doesn't look so unnaturally thick.
Yes. Especially this one, because this strap is thinner than, where's my Pebble? This strap is a little thinner than the one I use in the Pebble Steel, you know, than the one that comes with the Pebble Steel. And I like the Pebble one a lot, actually. I think I like it a little more than this one. I think out of the three we saw last week, the Moto 360 is still the one to get. It wasn't as big as it looks in pictures. I mean, it's a large face, but not overly huge. Really light, considering. And
I think people's perception of the size of the 360 got thrown off by all those prototypes that people saw on wrists. And, you know, maybe you saw them on wrists that were a little on the small side as well. So it kind of blew things out of proportion when it's in like a pre-production case or a dummy case. Obviously, those are going to be a lot larger.
Something going on. I mean, I wore it. I've had it on my wrist, and it felt fine.
They wouldn't let me touch it.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's me.
No, I think Phil has a prettier wrist, apparently.
It was weird. Like, I mean, because Word Wednesday was, they wouldn't let anybody, like, touch it, or you could touch it, but you couldn't turn it over. I don't know what was going on. So Wednesday when I looked at it, or Thursday when I looked at it, they're like, yeah, here, see it. It had some sort of sticker on the back, so like you couldn't quite tell what was going on with the charging mechanism.
I looked at that sticker and analyzed it for a good 20 minutes the other night.
Yeah.
That sticker is covering two features on the back,
right,
one in the center and one a rim around the edge.
Yep.
I have a feeling that the rim around the edge is going to be for charging, and now I need to know what's in the middle.
Yeah, I mean, so something's going on, but it was nice that I actually got to, you know, try it on and look at it and not be threatened with death, which is not uncommon in this job, actually. But the 360 is the one that I'm waiting for. I think I said last week that, you know, in order, it was Moto 360, Gear Live, then the G-Watch, but I think I've kind of changed my mind on that. I think the G-Watch looks better, but if you can't, you know, if you have these removable straps that look like crap once you swap them out, then what's the point? Then why make them removable?
Yeah, I think the Gear Live definitely looks better out of the box. It's the more sort of striking design, and that it actually has a design to it. It's not just this rectangle. But I think maybe the fact that the G-Watch is just basically, you know, even more so than the Pebble, just this square with a screen on it, means that whatever strap you do put on, maybe it kind of emphasizes that more, and it makes it look like, a little bit more, the design of the strap comes out more because of that, I think.
Well, I mean, definitely, I think Phil, I don't know, maybe in another life he was a watch designer, because that strap just did it. We were there and we had our choice, I'm like, yeah, I want my watch to look good, so I'm going to take the Samsung one. But seeing that band on your G-Watch, that changes that complete 180. That looks great.
I just realized
you said great in the context of smartwatches, which is, you know, conversation isn't particularly fierce besides the 360 at the moment, really.
Yeah.
But I think it's still sort of Pebble Steel level in terms of, you know, the looks of the thing.
I've got a thing ready to run. I think it'll run Friday on Pebble. I think there's very much still a place for Pebble here. And, you know, I don't think we need to totally write it off yet. That said, I mean, there's a lot of really good stuff going on here with Android Wear, and especially considering how early it is. I mean, they're not even shipping to customers yet. But if you don't, yeah, I mean, really the only thing missing to me with Pebble is color in the display, the ability to reply in apps, and, you know, it's kind of neat, but I can live without shouting into my watch. Archiving Gmail, which there's a third-party hack to do it, but I'm not crazy about it. But I mean, if just getting notifications is all it is, it's awesome. I still really like Pebble. So,
I mean, it's going to be sort of long term. It's going to be the apps that decide it. Pebble's already got its App Store stuff out there. Google's only just getting started, so it's natural that all these Android Wear watches are going to seem kind of light on functionality until third parties pick it up, and until people use these watches and work out what they want to use it for, and apps will sort of evolve to fill those needs. I mean, Pebble obviously has the advantage in terms of price, you know, the market presence they have, especially in the US, and battery life. But I think in the next year or so, you're going to have a situation where watches now that are selling for maybe $180 or $200 are going to be around the $100 mark, around where Pebble is right now. And you could see a situation quite easily where Pebble could maybe be squeezed out of the market a little bit by just this downward trickle of Android Wear watches that suddenly become much, much cheaper over time. And of course, the software is going to improve over the next year as well.
And that's what I think is going to happen. My question would be, do you think Pebble would make an Android Wear watch?
If they could make money off of it, I think they would.
Yeah.
It depends on what it's going to cost to make one compared to the return.
And don't forget the money they've already put into their own app store.
Oh, I don't think they should ever abandon.
That's a very painful one.
I don't think they should abandon their current platform, because Phil nailed it. For a lot of people, they're going to be enticed by Android Wear, but Pebble's really the better choice for a lot of people out there for what they want. Simple notifications that you don't have to jump up and swipe away or do anything. They're there. You can tap a button and scroll through all of them and see them at your leisure. That's what Pebble does that nothing else can do right now.
So Jerry talked about battery life. I haven't really talked about battery life yet. I'm getting down, I pick it up right before I leave to come to the office in the morning. So 8 o'clock, maybe a little earlier. And then when I go to bed, I've usually got about 30, maybe 35% left. That's it.
What are you doing with brightness? Because obviously that's fixed. That's the setting.
I left it whatever the default was, which I think is 2.
Yeah.
And I don't touch it, and it doesn't change automatically. So, I mean, for me, this is a one-day watch, and I'm having to charge it all the time. Here's the little charging dock for the LG Watch.
So it's much better for the G Watch than the kind of cradle thing they're still doing with the Samsung, right?
Yeah, so I have that laying around here somewhere. I don't know where I put it.
Because I know the cradle for the Gear, the original Galaxy Gear, was kind of a hassle.
So
this is much smaller. Here, I've got one, Phil. I mean, this is the one that goes for the Gear 2 or the Galaxy Gear Live. Or Gear Live, not Galaxy.
Yeah.
A lot smaller. Still pain in the ass.
Yeah, it's not as easy. Somebody did ask about using the metal links with the G-Watch and the charging dock, and it works just fine. So, you know, it sits flat on a desk like that. You know, it works. The catch is I have to remember to take this with me every night. Otherwise, I can't charge it when I get home.
And that's why any type of wireless charging, if they're smart and made it compatible with the same chargers you use on your Nexus 5, since that's the type of people who are going to be first adopters, if Motorola did that, that's huge for the 360.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, good luck getting hold of one of those proprietary smartwatch chargers.
Yeah.
You know, in a unfamiliar city or when you're traveling or whatever, it's just not going to happen. And an existing standard, whether it's micro USB, or that's probably not going to happen because you want to keep your water resistance, or ideally wireless charging. That's, again, another big point for the Moto 360, if it can do that.
So let's talk software for a little bit. And we're going to get to all these Q&A questions here in a minute. Three things you got to do, I guess. You got to have the new Google Play services. You have to have the Android Wear app. And then you have the software on the device itself. And the watches are actually running a full version of Android. I mean, this is, it's Android 4.4W, which is interesting. Jerry, did we ever get an answer? Is this, we don't know that this is going to be an AOSP or anything yet, right?
No answer.
I still think it's going to be like a, you know, it's built off AOSP code, but.
Right, but that's what they told me, that it's built on AOSP technology.
Right,
but what would you do with if you were somehow able to build Android without any of the Google stuff on the watch branch? What would it actually do? Because so much of that is tied into Play services, it would basically be a paperweight.
Agree. You're all putting me in a spot because, you know, part of me wants to stand up on the roof and say, how dare you not release the source code, you evil such and such. But there's also part of me that understands there's not a lot of benefit to it. So those two parts going to have to fight inside, and I'll just watch and see who wins.
They're going to battle all the other voices.
Yeah, most of them.
The app itself, I mean, and anybody can download it now and run it, so you can, you know, see what's going on with the app. But the app itself, it's, you know, it's decent. Looks, it's not
looks bad. Better than the first version of My Glass last year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I like how it shows which watch it's connected to. So it shows, like, the promo of the G-Watch. It has all the voice actions here, so you can just see them and, you know what they are. And this is actually where it gives you options. So if you have more than one app that will do the same thing, so say like if Timely adds Android Wear support, then you will be able to set an alarm through the clock app, through the stock clock app on your device, and then also through Timely, right? And actually the Samsung Watch already has two duplicative services, right? One of them is the stopwatch. The other is the heart rate monitor, because there's one built into Android Fit. And that's kind of interesting that they did. I mean, the stopwatch doesn't really make sense. Like, why do they have their own? I guess they thought it was better. The heart rate sensor, I guess I get that. But still, bloatware from the beginning.
Well, I also noticed, take a note, Evernote and Keep will both hit. If you have your watch already and you want to see how that works, install both Evernote and Keep, and it'll give you a selection there.
And then Wednesday, we saw the Onslaught as the app was made public. A whole bunch of other apps were released. They released the Hound. So let's go through this real quick. And Andrew did a really nice job putting them all into sections.
We've already added like another 10 since.
I can imagine.
I was going to ask you, All the Cooks, Eat24, Runkeeper, Runtastic, Runtastic Pro, Pinterest Player FM, which I just tried for the first time. It's actually a really good podcatcher and really good for discoverability. So if you're trying to find new things to listen to, try that. The Guardian, Reuters, Hangouts, TalkRay. What is that?
It's an SMS app.
Yeah. Cloud Magic, Contacts Plus, Evernote Wear, If This Then That, Level Money, PayPal, Personal Capital Finance, Trello, Zumper. I'm not even going to ask.
Apartment Search.
Okay. American Airlines, Delta Airlines are already on there. Glimpse is on there. Lyft is on there. I think Lyft just came out. That was, Lyft was the one they showed during the keynote, right? Where you just order a car, you know,
from your watch. There's a button for it right in the app.
Yeah.
You can imagine Uber is on that train here pretty darn soon.
Oh, yeah, I would expect so. Google Maps, obviously. One Weather, Bands in Town Concerts, Banjo, Duolingo, Highlight, Level Up, Truecaller, and Tweetings. And that's just the beginning. My question is, does every app need an Android Wear component? Like,
well, yeah, that's the whole thing is, even if they don't do anything, you still get the standard notification on your wrist as long as they're, you know, sending a standard Android notification to your phone. So that's kind of the one up over the original Google Glass model, which was you have to have the glassware installed that's specifically made for glass to have anything done. This is kind of like if there's a specialized app, like if you have the Twitter app, you want to be able to reply and favorite and retweet from your watch. But if not, just your regular Twitter app that has no integration whatsoever will still show you notifications and you can just see them. So, I think it's going to be more of a, you're going to pick and choose the dozen apps or so that you think are actually going to be useful to see on your wrist, or I should say interact with on your wrist more than just see them.
What I'd like to see is if you had to spend time and build proper notifications for your app, you should probably add in the little bit of stuff you need to display them correctly on Android Wear. But please, put in a method to shut that off.
Well, I mean, you don't have to. It's in the app. It's in the Android Wear app.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
It feels a little brute force to just blacklist.
Yeah, how much energy is your phone using by sending those apps that are sending those notifications that are never going to get picked up?
Oh, not that much.
Not very much.
Yeah.
I mean, let's go back to just notifications in general. Is everything being on the right default?
Yes.
You
yeah.
think?
Yeah. Yeah. Because otherwise, you have discoverability issues. Normal users, you know, if you have to go in and turn them on, it's for the same reason that annoying features get added by default, and then it's up to you as a user to turn them off. Because what's the point of adding something if nobody's going to see it unless they actively go in and turn it on? I get that as a developer. It's annoying to the user, but that's the way it needs to be, because otherwise, why are you doing it? I see what you're saying, though. And yeah, I completely agree. Not everything needs notification. And this is something, you know, we quickly found out with Pebble is which notifications are really important and which ones aren't, right? Like every, not spammy, but every email you get that you would normally just hit archive on real quick is suddenly magnified. And even with Android Wear, it still takes a second to swipe over and archive it. So suddenly all this crap that you would normally just archive and ignore, it's just like, whoa, there it is again. Fine. And it actually gets me to go and unsubscribe to stuff and take care of that.
Google already has some sort of algorithm that you can use for priority, the new priority folder inbox scheme. Let's move that over to Android Wear in the Gmail app and let me say I only want priority stuff to send through. That would be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah, there just needs to be a little bit more granularity. Even people that don't get many emails don't want every email pushed to their wrist. It's just not, that's not the way to do it. And whether they can tie in the priority inbox or whether you have a separate label for stuff that you want sent to your wrist or just something other than, the floodgates of all your email pouring across to your watch. Although I guess we kind of had this issue with Pebble when it first came out, didn't we? And I don't know, maybe it was less of an issue because it was a small screen. It was just a button press to get rid of it. But I don't know. Are you finding it more intrusive, Phil?
I'm pretty sure it's following because I have the primary tab and the promotions tab. I never did get rid of the promotions tab from that one time I was testing it, trying to get the ads to show up. I left it there because it's actually worked out really well. And I think, I say this, and I need to double check, but I'm pretty sure it follows that. And that stuff is not showing up on Android Wear, but it is showing up on Pebble.
Interesting.
See, I'm pretty sure mine's not following it. So we're going to have to get together. You very well could be right, and I'm seeing something wrong here.
Yeah, I need to double check, but I'm pretty sure it's not.
Okay. Well, see, you just made Android Wear better without even trying.
You know, on Pebble, yeah, because I get these all the time on Pebble. I get like a bunch of, you know, I buy something for my wife, and then all the emails from that company come in. Yeah. And, you know, not necessarily things you want to show up on your watch in public all the time. And I don't think I've seen that on Android Wear. So that's a good thing. Like, it's working better than I thought. And I had to let go a little bit and let it control it. And it's doing fine. What else? What, Jerry, what apps are you using? I mean, I'm not really doing anything appy, and most of the time it's just notifications. The steps thing seems to work pretty well, and it's seamless.
Yeah, really, I've been playing with that recipes app. I'm gonna cook dinner with. Other than that, I'm the guy that thinks notifications are the highlight, and player controls for Chromecasting movies.
Sure.
I use those a lot.
And music.
Yeah, I would if you know, if I were somewhere where I needed to use Google Play Music, not on a computer or at the stereo,
right.
I can definitely see how that would be very handy.
I think we're going to find out, you know, all these sort of, if not killer apps, and certainly the really interesting things that people are going to dream up to do with Android Wear, that's going to come in a few months' time. I think now we're at the stage where we were in the early smartphone days with email on your phone being this first sort of breakthrough feature. Now it's notifications on your wrist. And it's just going to take time and, you know, energy from developers to try and figure out where to go next with it.
And even more of that's going to come in when you start getting home automation and things like that. You know, the standard drive up and you can, open your garage door with your watch, or, you know, go turn the doorknob on your front door and it knows you're there and just unlocks things like that, that are, you know, helpful when you have a little bit of user interface to see on your wrist with a glance rather than taking the phone out all the way.
I was a little surprised Nest didn't have its stuff ready to go yet.
I installed iFit too, and I use those Wemo light switches here at the house. And yeah, that's pretty cool that I can turn my lights on and off from my wrist. But a native Wemo app that has all of them listed in one screen and gives me a little bit of control over more than just one light at a time would be much better.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think what else. All right, let's do some Q&A. Got a lot of questions coming in. Jerry's hair is borderline epic. Yes, it is. Says Sam. Had to start with that. Can anyone comment on if the LG G Watch with Samsung Live are as bad in daylight as early reviews have indicated? Asked Jeremy. Yes, it has not changed since the early reviews came out. The G Watch is pretty worthless in direct sunlight.
The Gear Live is probably equally as worthless. If you're looking at it, make sure you've cranked the brightness the whole way up. It does make a little bit of difference, but it's still not anywhere near what I would call good.
And it's still not anything like Pebble is outside at all.
No, negative.
So it's not great.
What do you think it's going to take for that to get up to where we are with smartphones now? Because we're in a pretty good place with the high-end stuff now that can actually be seen in direct sunlight.
Battery.
You think?
They're not driving these screens nearly as bright as they are a smartphone because they've got a tiny little battery in it.
Yep. Justin asks, what do you think about the decision to let Google, quote, control Android Wear, auto, and TV design, so manufacturers won't be able to skin these things however they want? I think it's awesome. I think it's a really good thing. I mean, that's not to say that every manufacturer has done bad stuff, because I think some are better than others, but I think for the most part, they haven't been horrific in a long time. But it's a good thing, especially in the car and especially on the watch.
Yeah, I had something on that in my editorial today saying, you know, Google just in general is exerting a lot more control over Android these days, between TV, Wear, Android One. And yeah, I mean, not to say that it's been a mistake to let manufacturers just do whatever they want on, you know, within reason on phones and tablets. But I think if you do just say, right, this is a stock experience, updates are going to come from us, then you avoid a lot of issues that you see on Android phones right now. Like, you know, security updates are always going to be pretty fast on watches and TVs, you would think. I mean, the OTA that went out on the G Watch and the other Gear Live, both of them got it pretty much within a few hours of each other. So, yeah, that's the advantages they're looking at. They obviously get more control over the way it looks, the user experience, and when they're bringing in this new design language, that's important as well.
There's only one way they can say, well, you're not allowed to make an Android TV and change the software, and that's by keeping it closed sourced.
So that leads into the next set of questions, and Ryan Saldana asks a couple of them. Are these things open source projects, and can you explain the difference between pure Google and pure Android and how AOSP fits into those mindsets?
We don't know if they're open source projects yet or not. I'm sure there are parts of it that are never going to be open sourced, but there are parts of, you know, your Nexus that are not open source as well. I just don't know if we're going to be able to actually build an image from provided source code, and nobody, either they can't talk about it or they don't want to talk about it. So I really don't have an answer. The more I hear about Google's going to assert control and no custom user interface, that tells me that it's probably going to be closed sourced. And we'll go back to that. That's two parts of me inside arguing and fighting over which is better and which isn't. And only you can decide how you feel about that. Don't pay any attention to how I feel. I'm just me.
And what's really interesting now, I think, is the difference between open sourced Android of 2-3 years ago versus now, when so much is going through Play Services and is dependent on that.
Well, you still you have all of your utilities and framework to run anything is part of AOSP. You can build AOSP with nothing from, you know, nothing Google proprietary built in, and that's actually how you're supposed to build it. And then you can just flash that stuff back, and it just works.
Right.
The base is identical. A lot of people were worried about, you know, will there never be a new browser, or what about the email client? Well, no, those are the open source versions are very much similar to what you would get on the Nexus 5. They're in fine shape. There's not a problem. You know, pure Android, that's pure Android. Pure Google is not that. Pure Google has tweaks, and it has extra libraries, and it has other software included from Google and from partners, and we can't build that. We can emulate it by installing stuff on top of pure Android, but we can't build it.
By the way, we need to revisit something we talked a little bit about in San Francisco, Jerry, and that is Google released the GPL stuff for Android L. You had expressed a little displeasure that we were getting factory images but no code.
Yes, they released everything they needed to release, and that's good. Good on them for releasing what they're required to. It's a shame you have to say that, but you have to say that. And they released enough that you're going to start seeing custom ROMs spring up based on the images. We've got some of the build target stuff. We can build a kernel for most of the Nexuses. I think even including the Nexus 2012 3G edition. I think that finally came out too. It means that they're going to start working on building a kernel, and then they'll port the image over, and you can try it on your Nexus if you don't have a Nexus 5 or Nexus 7. A lot of people thought, and I read back, and yes, we and other sites didn't sit down and exactly clarify, this is not the Android 5XL, whatever you want to call it, source code. We didn't get that. We got AOSP stuff and some kernel stuff to the things you would need to use that source to build a ROM. So we can't actually build from source, but we can probably make something work for all the Nexus phones.
Going back to the Nexus 7 2012 for a second, because that's, I think a lot of people were predicting doom and gloom for that, because I think it's one of the few that doesn't actually support ART, or didn't support ART in 4.4.
It didn't before.
The fact there's a build target now suggests maybe it's not the end of the road for that yet.
Right. Well, you know, I would think, yes, they would go to the trouble of creating a way to try Android L on a phone that may not get it. But then they turn around and publish the stuff that they've tried. You don't do that unless you think you're going to need it. So I think it's looking good.
Cool. Let's take a quick break. I want to answer some more of those questions. They're really good ones coming in. But we're going to take a quick break for an ad and talk about lynda.com, LYNDA.com, because, Jerry, we got a whole bunch of stuff to learn right now.
Yep.
Whole bunch of stuff to learn. And especially, I tell you, as developers are working on all these new things for Android Wear, you have to be able to use things like Photoshop. You're going to need to be able to make websites. So that's absolutely what lynda.com is there to do. If you want to learn how to use Photoshop, design your own website, edit video with Adobe Premiere, lynda.com gives you thousands and thousands. Actually, it's like 2,400, more than 2,400 courses, video courses on all sorts of stuff you could possibly want to learn. And what's really cool, this is important, they just updated their app, was it a couple weeks ago now, for Chromecast support, so you don't have to watch on a tablet or phone. You can watch on your TV if you want, which is actually how I prefer to do it. In fact, I just taught my kids how to do it, which is pretty awesome. So they're going to, you know, if I can teach my kid Photoshop by the time she's 8, we're gold.
She'll be way ahead of me.
I'm going to be able to retire on it, I think.
You have to move her desk into your office.
I know, right? The lynda.com app also gives you offline course and video viewing, which is great, so you don't always have to be online to do it. You can hop back and forth between mobile and desktop, so you don't have to like start over each and every time. Really, really cool. You can learn all the skills you need to design and develop engaging websites, from web foundations and user experience to Muse, Dreamweaver, and WordPress. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's okay. These things are going to teach you. So I do know what these are, actually. and they just got a bunch of new courses in, including creating secure PHP websites, simple Android development tools. So if you want to get started doing that, you can. Responsive media and Muse Essential Training. And we got a great deal for you guys out there. We can get you 7 days access to the entire Lynda library for free. Just go to lynda.com. That's LYNDA/AndroidCentral to get your 7-day free trial. Again, LYNDA.com/AndroidCentral. And we thank them for helping us out with the podcast. It's pretty awesome. All right, let's get back to the questions because we got some really, really good ones. When will I be able to open my garage with my Android Wear watch? Ask Ryan again.
Oh, as of last night.
And Ellis, what's
that? As of last night, just plug it into a switch from a company that's IFTTT.
Oh, true.
Yeah. You just tap a button and it'll open.
That's true. Awesome. Man, I can't believe Nest isn't ready yet. Domenico asks, if Pebble made a high-res touchscreen e-paper Android Wear watch, wow, that's like all the things, or if Qualcomm made a talk to with Android Wear and a mirror cell display and a strap that isn't garbage, would you consider either? I would absolutely consider anything. And in fact, I saw other people asking on Twitter today, hey, maybe we'll see some Android Wear Mirasol. Mirasol would be an interesting in-between. You know, we've talked a lot about this before, where I had Pebble on one end and Samsung stuff on the other, as far as battery life goes. And in the middle, you had Qualcomm, and the colors aren't anything like they show in their marketing materials, but it's still color. It's still some color. I think that would be really interesting. How will Android Wear support it? I don't know.
It doesn't support anything but LCD and AMOLED right now, you need all the animations, you need a certain refresh rate, I'm sure, to make it look anything decent. I mean, that's kind of the other side of Pebble is, you know, it has to be a simple interface just based on how quickly it can draw the screen and everything and the resolution.
Yeah.
I would assume, real quick, maybe I can answer, it's going to be just like Android on the phone, and that can be controlled very easily, your rate of animation and speed.
But I think if you want to get back to Google controlling the experience, is that going to be an experience that Google wants to settle for?
And that's the question. If they're
into this design language and these animations part of material design, do they then want to have to fall back on either a black and white display or a Mirasol display?
No, I would not, and you'll find out when you get yours. One is not better than the other, but I could never see Android Wear running the way it runs right now on a black and white display. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see.
The new design, you know, it's not, you can't say this is material design, but the new design language is a very big part of the experience.
And so you have to think that if Pebble went with, you know, a high res display or some kind of a color display, that, you know, that would just be another thing for them on their own OS and their own platform that they're working on, as, you know, giving it a level up, making, you know, the gap between LCD and where they're at with e-ink being a little closer.
I think in a lot of ways that the current sort of crop of wear watches seems like just a lesson in sort of technical limitations right now. There's a lot that is sort of hamstrung by battery technology and screen technology in particular. And it's maybe going to take a breakthrough in one of those two areas, at least before we get to what people expect, which is the same kind of experience that you get with Android on a phone.
Still very much like this.
In terms of visibility or battery life or whatever.
Sorry, I was looking down at my Pebble again. It's still very much like this. Absolutely. Brian has a question. Phil, how hard was it to change the band on your G-Watch? Does it have spring bars? Yes, it has a standard 22mm little spring thingy. And then you need a little tool like this. Looks like a little dentist tool, but it's not. It's got two ends on it. These little, what do you call it? Like a lizard tongue fork, a little bit. And you just shove it in there and push the spring down. And I had no instructions. I didn't even look it up on lynda.com. I wonder if they have watch instructions on there. Actually, I have to check. And it was surprisingly easy. Like, I didn't break anything. I got it to work. The hardest part is swapping out links in the band itself. And even that's not difficult. And I didn't bother getting one of the tools to do it. So I just kind of brute forced it. But if I can do it, you can do it. Put it that way. Right, Jerry?
And well, no, you're pretty handy, Phil. Don't be so hard on yourself.
Okay.
it's a different affair with the Gear Live. The G-Watch gives you easy access to the spots where you put the band. On the Gear Live, you have to come in from the back, and it's a little harder to get your spring tool down in there, which maybe is why Samsung put those quick-release pins in. Like Phil likes to remind me, you can't use to put another strap back, so you still have to get the tool in there. It's a little tight, but it'll work.
Ezekiel asked, do Android Wear devices work in any capacity with non-Android devices?
Nope.
No, I haven't tried, but...
You have a BlackBerry 10 there, Phil?
I do, actually.
I mean, the thing is...
That's something we need to try.
Yeah.
Would you like to have them spending time with, you know, hacking together that support to just work with specific apps? You know, I mean, with iOS or BlackBerry or Windows Phone, there's not the notification listener to sit there and pull in the notifications simply. It would have to be an entire new framework separate to pull in notifications from those. And is that really something that they're interested in spending time on?
For iOS, they pretty much already have it for Glass.
Well, but here's, we don't even have to go that far. Apple will never approve an app called Android Wear.
Right.
Ever.
We were joking about that last night, but Phil's absolutely correct.
Yeah. That's a good point, actually.
No, I mean, they won't. They don't allow apps that aren't called Android to have things in them about Android. I mean, they, you know, just doesn't happen. So.
And a name like Google's not going to be able to push out an app that's like a wink, wink, nudge, nudge kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's a calculator app. Don't worry. Just approve this, Apple. That'd be great.
I mean, it would be difficult. I suppose they could maybe call it a Google Wear app that would give you limited connectivity between, you know, an Android Wear watch and an iPhone or whatever through Notification Center. But like you said, you'd have to jump through so many hoops to do it. And is it really worth Google's time to do that when, you know, by all accounts, Apple's got its own watch coming out in a few months anyway?
I'd like to see them do it.
Worth their time, yes. Yeah. Definitely worth their time. I think that should have been number one priority to have that ready when the watch ships. That gives you 3 months of iOS users that only have one choice. Well, two choices. They have Pebble or Google Wear in this case. I also talked to a couple people. I'm not the only one that thinks it's important that iOS support is provided for Android Wear.
I mean, I feel like if that was at any point along the development of Android Wear, in the cards to have the multiple platform support, it wouldn't be called Android Wear.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe.
I mean, Glass pretty much from the start was, you know, it works. Well, it works about the same depending on iOS or Android, but that seems like it was meant to be multiple platforms from the start. I mean, you don't really develop something and decide on the name Android Wear and have it hooked into your Android phone in that way, just to have it then support iOS as well.
Yeah, and if you look at what what all the big players seem to be doing with smartwatches, they're designed as ecosystem plays. Samsung's been doing it, so it only ties into Samsung phones. You know, Google's doing the same with Android, and you can bet that when the iWatch comes out, you're not going to be able to pair it to your Nexus 5. So that's just the way things seem to be going, I guess.
John Paul has a good question. Has anybody unlocked and rooted Android Wear yet? mine's unlocked.
Yeah, it's, we unlocked
this. This is running a full version of Android with a normal, you know, ish bootloader, and you plug it in and you do all your ADB stuff and you can do all your fast boot stuff. And it's, you know, if I can do it, you can do it. So yeah, I went ahead and unlocked it just because.
And somebody who's good with the way you build the boot image for new Android, I'm not, so I can't be 100% sure, but there's should be no reason you can't flash a rooted boot image with the correct utilities there, and you have root access. There's nothing to stop you.
The question, of course, is why, and the answer, of course, is why not.
Well, for unlocking it, I mean, why? You're right. Why not? It's mine. I'm going to unlock it, just because I can. But rooting it, I don't see any reason why you'd even want to root it. But you probably can.
Pablo says, hey guys, with all the talk on the Moto 360 being significantly more expensive than the G Watch and the Live, is it still worth buying? We don't know how much the 360 costs. I kind of hesitate to speculate on that because it could be $300. It could be less. I don't know. I mean, we talked last week, Jerry, where one of my conspiracy theories for the 360 not being ready yet was that they wanted to get these two out the door, since the 360 is either going to be a lot more expensive than these two, or a lot less expensive. I don't think it's going to be less.
It's less expensive.
I mean, the Gear Live being $229, you have to think that the Moto 360 is going to be $300 or more.
Yeah, I would say $300 to $350. And I don't think that's necessarily a big deal. I mean, with something like a watch, it's the kind of device you can spend as much money as you want on. And the watches we have now are basically the budget option, and the premium option is going to be coming maybe in the next month or so.
I want to get Kevin on here after we get all these and get him to play with something, because he's a big watch nerd and he spent thousands and thousands of dollars on watches, and I really want to hear about it from a watch lover's perspective.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. We're talking now about maybe $300 Moto 360, and in the grand scheme of watches, that's a cheap watch.
Yeah,
no.
I'm thinking of it from the point of view of even just Phil's G Watch is $230 plus a $45 band to make it, you know, much more premium feeling, and that only fixed the band part. The Moto 360 is going to come out of the box with presumably a much nicer face with the metal and nicer glass and things like that. You know, Phil's already at $275 for the G Watch. So if the Moto 360 is $349, I think you could probably say that that's a pretty good price if it's, you know, we're talking about a leather band or a nice metal band and, you know, a higher build quality.
Plus, I really want to buy a second charging dock for this thing so I can, like, leave one in the office and either take one at home or leave it in my bag or something.
What is your guys's, I mean, especially Phil, having touched the Moto 360, what is your price ceiling on what the Moto 360 should, you know, you could effectively buy one as an enthusiast? Is it $400?
Yeah, I don't think I'd go above that, because, I mean, that's smartphone territory.
It's also really nice. I mean, you can start getting nice watches for $400.
Yeah. And I tell you, I think people are going to be a little disappointed with the resolution on the 360. Because
we're talking effectively 320 by 320 with the corners cut off.
Yeah, it's noticeable. It's not as nice as you've seen in the promos. It's still really nice, and I still really like the shape, and I'm absolutely getting one. But I'm just warning people up front. You're going to be able to see pixels. You can see pixels in the G-Watch. If you're glancing, it doesn't bother me as much. When it's on the black and white screen, and every time I flip my wrist, it goes back to color. But you will be able to notice. So, yeah, I think we need to manage expectations there a little bit. But, good Lord, we're in week one. You can't even buy these yet. Like, they're not shipping yet. I'm still really excited for it. I don't mean to portray otherwise. What else?
Should we jump into a couple more questions?
Yeah, you see anything you like? Could Android Wear push the way for other wearable items like actual clothing that can talk to your phone? Sure. They could do that now. It's just a matter of...
Right, it's Android Wear, not Android Watch.
Yeah.
Just a case of where you put the screen.
Yep.
Android Wear notifications are already going to be coming to Glass in the next couple months as well.
Yeah, I completely agree that I think Glass is just going to switch over to that.
Has to.
What else coming out of I.O.? So Play Services 5 pushed this week. I mean, a lot of good stuff there if you haven't read through it yet.
Google Play Games stuff.
That's a big deal. God, I mean.
Cloud save. God, yes.
Yes.
Let's just get every single game to plug in with that.
If you're a developer and you don't use that, I hate you and I'm uninstalling your app and leaving you a bad review.
And it's not just something that us with a bunch of phones on our desk have to deal with. It's a regular, consumer use case. You have the phone and the tablet, and you want to pick up the tablet in the evening and play a game. And then, when you're sitting at the doctor's office for 15 minutes with your phone, you want to play that same game. Everybody wants this.
A lot of people have phones and tablets now, and it's a big deal.
Yep.
It's important. Please do it. Please do it.
A lot of people have hacked their work phone so they could install games. They need this.
It's a good question from Ryan. For each of you, what was your top pick for AC's best phones to buy article?
Oh, can I answer?
Yeah, we know what yours is. I think we came to our conclusions pretty quickly on that, right? I mean, I struggled with it, but it came to me in the shower one morning and said, quit screwing around. Here's what they are, and you don't have to justify it. Just explain the reasoning. Alex is just kind of looking.
I'm still using the G3 right now. The functionality that has is a better fit for me. I think like the wireless charging, the larger screen is nice, even though, colors aren't quite as good as they are on the M8. I think the camera is a big part of it as well. The M8 camera is the big weakness there. The G3 has a very nicely balanced camera to the point where it's good enough in daylight. Well, it's more than good enough. It's very good in daylight. It's not Galaxy S5 good in daylight, but it's pretty good.
Yep.
And you can also use it in low light, which, the GS5 is tilted towards daylight. The M8 is very much tilted towards sort of indoors and low light. I just think the combination of features that are on the G3 is a better fit for me. But overall, I would not hesitate to recommend the M8 to anyone.
I don't think I had a problem with anything that was on that list. If you brought me that list and said, I want to buy one of these phones, I would not stop you from buying any of them, whether it's the Nexus 5 or the Moto X or the G3 or the M8 or the GS5. Like, any one of those is a good phone. Absolutely. Our problem was trying to put them into an order that we could defend and that we could say, here's why we think this one deserves to be on the, a little bit higher than this one. I'm still a little uncomfortable doing that because they all are really good at one thing versus another phone. They each has its pluses and minuses. I've said it before, it's such a great time to be able to buy a phone right now, especially being able to buy a high-end phone, because you almost can't go wrong. That's not number what people want to hear.
Number one is the Moto X. Number two is the Moto X in blue. Number three is the Moto X in wood. There you go.
Fine. Hey, rumor that's probably completely true is that we'll get the Moto 360 at the same time we get the X successor, the X Plus One, I guess. And I'm getting excited for that. Absolutely.
You've got to imagine if they do Qi charging on the 360, they've got to bring in the X plus one as well.
Yeah, that has to.
Ooh.
They can't have one and not the other.
Ooh.
I saw somebody on Google Plus talking about what if the 360 attaches directly to the X plus one and it acts as a charger and a charging device that can be charged. I'm like, holy cow, that sounds crazy. But wouldn't it be great?
It's kind of funny, but one of the big things that keeps me from switching around between phones is that I've got my wireless chargers on my desk and on my nightstand, and having to plug in a new charger and plug in the phone every single night is just like the biggest burden in the world to me now. And it's really annoying to not be able to set down the M8 on that charger and have it just discharge. And I wake up in the morning and I've set a different phone on the wireless charger and it's been doing nothing all night, and it's got 5% battery in the morning. And it's like, you know, it's just, especially on the S5, where you have to flip off that little flap and plug in the weird USB 3 plug and all that stuff. It's just kind of hard for me to choose a phone that doesn't have wireless charging now, sadly. It's just the technology has got me locked in, not necessarily a specific manufacturer.
I think it's a big convenience factor. And especially when you know, if you're lucky like us, you get access to a lot of phones. You know, which phone do you pick up? It's the one that's easiest to just plop down and have charging all day.
Mm-hmm.
So I had the camera stuck on me for like the first 5-10 minutes of the podcast. Who should we stick it on for the last 5 or 10 minutes?
Sure. Okay.
I keep forgetting it does that. I had it clicked on me when we were testing the cameras, and I forgot to click off.
Whoops.
Whoops. I saw a question about Android Auto. I want to get to John. Asks, how many years do you think it'll take to have Android Auto third-party setup in my 1997 RAV4? 2015 or later? I bet we have third parties next year. Aftermarket.
Man,
you might even bet that'll be a faster road to release than, you know, new cars.
Maybe.
I can't afford a new Jeep. There's no freaking way, so if they don't do it, I'll never get to experience a product I really want to buy.
Now. I want it now. Which watch feels best?
It makes
best.
Me go down to the mall and smash a window and steal Android Auto out of a new car.
Don't do that. Which watch feels the best on your wrist? For me, I think it was the Moto 360. I'm perfectly fine with the G-Watch, though.
I didn't get to wear the 360. I'm the oddball. I like the Gear Live. I like the strap on it.
It just... where's mine? It's in here somewhere. So I do have a Gear Live here as well. Yeah, I mean, here's the strap, and it's... I like straps that, you know, come apart in the middle. I think that's good. But I have a hard time putting this on. It's just awkward for me fitting those things in. I can fit a traditional strap in much easier. Like, I'm becoming like the cat lady, only with smartwatches. You know, a traditional strap like the original Pebble. That's what I like, I think, the best. And then I like the links, the metal links.
Yeah, I'm sad that the Gear will never get a nice metal band. Nobody, unless Samsung makes it themselves, you'll never want to put one on.
And it'll cost like $90 or something.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember if... because I went to the Samsung Experience store in Columbus Circle, but they have a little space down, I think it's in Soho, maybe, where I went. And this was when they showed us the... we'd seen them before, but it was like right before they went on sale. They brought us up to take a look at them again. And they literally went to a watch store and just brought back all these leather bands. And I'm trying to remember if they had metal ones there. They might not have. So that would explain that, I guess.
You can make a metal one fit. It just looks pretty startling.
Yeah.
The watch strap was designed and molded a certain shape to fit right in.
Right, it's kind of the way that the metal part, you know, really comes out over where the bands come in. So it has to have you would need a metal band that then has maybe rubber or plastic at the end to seat into there properly.
But so then you'd have metal joint or rubber joint to metal, which would look kind of strange. Jerry said there are issues with just using, with a join, with using a normal leather 22mm latch as well, strap rather.
Yeah, it's if you can, when you can pick up a Gear Live, open the strap, look at it from the back, and you'll see the way the metal is shaped and the way that the factory strap fits into it. And there's a lot of extra that's besides where the pins actually fasten the strap. There's extra material. And when you put just a regular strap in there without that extra material, you're seeing a lot of the body of the watch that you weren't meant to see.
See if I can show it in here, maybe. It's not so good at close-ups. But yeah, it fits. There's almost like a little lip that goes over it.
Yep.
And it looks really nice.
On either side, there's like a wing.
Right.
And when you put the right strap into the right place, it looks like it belongs. But when you put another strap in there, it looks like it doesn't belong. And to me, a watch needs to look good. That bothers me. Makes me wish I had gotten the G watch, and I think that the Gear Live is the better watch.
It's just kind of this half slap to the face, like, our watch strap is removable for another one of our watch straps.
Yeah.
Well, fine.
Do you think, there's something about the Gear Live that just kind of comes across as a bit half-assed to me. I don't know if that's because it looks like just a Gear 2 Neo with a bunch of stuff taken out. I don't know.
It's
difficult to pin down why. It just feels like Samsung weren't really trying very hard when they brought this thing out.
I like the look of it. I think it looks nice, but I completely agree on the straps. It's just it's one of those things. You're like, Samsung. They did it. Anything else? Kind of out of Songza. We didn't talk about Songza. Google has bought Songza. I still hate the word Songza.
Am I the only one that's never used Songza either?
I finally tried it last night because Kevin Mitchell has been raving about Songza forever, and I just hate the name so much I refuse to try it. And I tried it last night. It's really good. It's like a mood music app, right? So it says, "Hey, it's Wednesday night. What are you in the mood to?" In fact, I'll fire it up now. We'll see what it says right now. Because I used it last night, and it works really well. So it says, it's Thursday afternoon. Do you want to play music for taking a sunny stroll or brand new music or something for getting fired up? And it has a little picture of a dude drop kicking.
Is there one for recording an Android podcast?
There should be. there's one for driving, going to a festival, or catching rays with BIC Soleil. I have no idea what that is. Anyone? Somebody will email me. So let's try taking a sunny stroll. It says, it's sunny outside. Take a stroll and we'll play the perfect music. An indie pop shuffle, a hip-hop stride, a tropical sunny saunter, a woodland hike, a soulful...
Well, see, for you, it'll probably play Metallica 9 times in a row.
I know,
right?
a soulful stroll or a classic pop slash rock walk.
So I know that this means that I think they've said that Songza is not going away. They're going to keep doing their thing.
Correct.
But it's just going to get more powerful with the Google behind them. Is there an indication that the Songza information is then going to come in to make Google Play Music Radio better? Because the radio function on Google Play Music is kind of bad.
That's probably what they'll mix it into. I think the analogy that people are drawing, which is probably kind of accurate, is the name's just completely gone. Whatever they baked into Google Maps for live traffic stuff.
Waze,
that's the one, yeah. So that's probably close to the sort of integration that you're going to see, and they said it's going to live on. Of course, nothing, not necessarily permanent, but we'll see. At least they said that. They're not immediately buying it and then shutting it down.
But you have to remember, and when you read the user agreement, it basically tells you this. To Google, data is data. If it's made by Google and it collects data, everything else, it's just there. Google can access it at will from their apps, and we've seen how they use that. You can like it or you can hate it, but to Google, anything collected through Songza or anything on file at Songza is fair game to Google Play Music or any other service.
Yep.
Works for me.
What else? Google Docs and Google Sheets have been updated with the new UI. Cool.
And also, QuickOffice is going away, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's not surprising.
It was kind of weird, mainly because they couldn't really make up their mind when they bought QuickOffice, and then they rebranded QuickOffice to take on the Google Docs colors and stuff, and then relaunched that.
Nah,
and then
I mean, you can't just like kill it first thing. Too many people use that to be like, all right, we bought it. See ya.
Well, the weird thing is that they spent time rebranding it to Google things.
Yeah, but that was easy.
And then they killed it.
Nah, that was easy, relatively. Google Voice is still here. I know everybody's seen all those screenshots going around that, you know, look, they said they were going to integrate it into Hangouts eventually. So, I mean, we know it's happening. It's been in there since like April, these screenshots people are seeing.
What? they're planning to do things? You're crazy.
The Sprint LG G3 will be here July 18th. I think it's, what, the 16th from T-Mobile. So it's coming. We get to get excited about it all over again, I hope.
No doubt. I have been itching to hear T-Mobile or AT&T getting one of those. I may actually be the first in line with my own money.
Cool.
Doesn't that sound crazy?
I like it when you get excited about phones, though.
Well, I just... This could be the one. I talked to you and Alex. This could be the one for the year.
But if it's coming out mid-late July, maybe we might be hearing about another phone that Jerry might want to buy around that time.
No, stop. Stop. It's killing
me. Just saying.
I think that's going to do it. I think we're going to ease on into this holiday weekend here in the States. Alex, have a nice 4th of July.
I will. Thanks, Phil.
Have fun working all by yourself. We got plenty more coming up next week on Android Wear. We're absolutely not done. Eventually, we will review the watches, but here's the short version. They're watches with Android Wear on them. It's really more about the software. And now that we finally have some third-party apps working in there, we can really get some work done, I think. Right?
Right. If I reviewed this 2 days ago, I'd have to re-review it today.
Yeah. So
with the update, addressed my biggest bug, and now we have a ton of apps.
If you haven't spent money yet and you're still holding off and you want to know, we will give you some answers. So that's coming soon. Hang tight. If you want to, you can email us podcast@androidcentral.com. You can go get us all on Google Plus as well. Just search our names. It's the easiest way to find us. Phil Nickinson, Terry Hildenbrand, Andrew, Alex. We're all there. As we are every week, we are brought to you by ShopAndroid.com. Call 888-468-6158. If you like talking to people on a phone, that's cool. Jerry, Alex, Andrew, thank you.
Thank you.
Anytime.
Anytime. All right, we'll be back next week. See ya.
See you later.
Bye.
Hey, you, I need your help. I need 5 quick minutes of your time for a short anonymous survey. Your answers will help match our podcast with advertisers that best fit the sensibilities of our podcast and its listeners like you. All you have to do is complete the survey and you will be entered in an ongoing monthly raffle to win a $100 Amazon gift card. We promise not to share or sell your email address, and we won't send you an email unless you win. So go to www.podsurvey.com/android. That's podsurvey.com/android to take our survey and get a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card. Thanks!